chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down a via, down a road to hold you away.
Just a couple of word notes, worship notes. The responses will all be spoken on this the most somber day. It's called Good Friday. We gather to remember what took place. Early that morning, our Lord was placed on the cross. From 9 to 3, he hung there until, as we'll hear in a few moments, he cried, "It is finished." By this hour of the day, they had begun the process of taking him down from that cross to make burial preparations. We're here to remember that day. And so we begin with the hymn, "Jesus, I Will Ponder Now." Thank you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, quickly to help me, Lamb of our salvation. The Lord be with you. Lord God, you have brought us safely to this hour of evening prayer. We thank you for providing all that we need for body and life. Bless us who have gathered in your name. Forgive our sins. Speak to our hearts. Dispel our sorrows with the comfort of your word, and receive our hymns of thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our living Savior, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the psalmody. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. We hear the words of the prophet Isaiah from the 52nd chapter for our Old Testament reading. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So far our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is found in the letter to the Hebrews in the 4th chapter. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So far, our epistle reading. We join in singing verse 1 of Glory Be to Jesus. We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who suffered death on the cross on our behalf. The Holy Gospel from John 19, beginning at verse 17 through 30. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, This man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, Behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So far the gospel reading. Be seated as we continue with the hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation is that gospel reading, especially verse 30. Let us pray. Lord our God, I do pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts might be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. Amen. What must it have been like to have stood at the foot of that cross on that fateful day? That sight of Jesus must have been horrifying for those who followed him, those who loved him. There was that sign above him, a sign that was intended to mock him. You could hear the religious leaders and the people mocking him, the soldiers standing guard. We read how they even cast lots, made a game of it, cast lots for his clothing. What must that have been like? And then there was that uncomfortable darkness that settled on the earth from noon until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. There was the sight of Jesus' mother crying her eyes out, I'm sure. But what must have been most interesting were the words that Jesus spoke as he hung from that cross that day. It's amazing he was even able to speak. He'd been up all night the night before. He hadn't had any food for a while. I'm sure he was dehydrated. We also know he had lost a lot of blood from the abuse that he had taken. He had been beaten with a cat of nine tails. 39 lashes. Because 40 lashes was considered too much, would kill a person. He couldn't breathe very well. I recently read the nails went through the tendons in the arm, which forced his muscles to be such that the only way he could breathe was to hoist himself up on his legs as the spear, or rather as the nail was driven through his feet. He couldn't rest on his arms. Couldn't breathe. Ultimately, we know that's how he died. That's the way people crucified died. They suffocated to death. Physically exhausted. And yet he was still able to speak. The gospel tells us, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Words of grace and mercy for those who had sinned against him. And then, as we heard a few moments ago, he looked down, saw his mother, and saw the disciple he loved, said, Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your mother. Words of love to Mary, his mother, making sure she would be taken care of when he was gone. We read he was placed between those two thieves. The one understood who this man Jesus was, and ask to be forgiven. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Words of grace and mercy, again, this time to that thief, when in the final hours of his life he came to faith. And then those terrifying words from Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words of pain as he experienced the very essence of hell, that separation from his Father, that we can't even imagine what that must be like. To have his heavenly Father turn his back on him, that he might suffer for the sins of the world. He said, I am thirsty. Words remind us he truly was human, even from the cross. He wasn't just God. True man, true God. He wasn't just pretending to be in pain. This was very real for Jesus. And then he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As he looks forward to leaving this earth and going to be with his Father. But there was one other sentence I didn't mention. the one that ended our gospel reading. It is finished. And Jesus shouted it, "It is finished," as loud as he was able, right before he gave up his spirit to his heavenly Father. Right now we are pondering what that phrase means and why that little sentence is so important to us as Christians. It is finished. Our words, that these are words that every Christian can hang on to, can receive a great deal of hope and comfort and strength. So I want us to think about these words right now. In the original language that the Bible was written, "it is finished" is actually just that one word, tetelestai. Tetelestai, a word connected to the idea of paying off a debt. Archaeologists have uncovered many scraps of paper and papyrus from the first century bills or banknotes, and at the bottom, if that bill was paid off, you would find the word tetelestai. It is finished. When Jesus said tetelestai, right before he died, some of the people at the foot of the cross heard it. The soldiers would have heard it, and the picture that would have popped into their heads would have been the idea that something has been paid in full. A debt has been taken care of. Well, the debt Jesus was referring to was the debt that the world, each one of us, owed to God. Do you realize when you were born, you were already in debt? I know we probably feel like that today sometimes, but it happened from the moment we were born. Not financially, necessarily, but spiritually. People were conceived, they were born into spiritual debt, because people are conceived and born into sin. When you come into this world, you're born with a sinful nature, which means that spiritually you're already in the red. And then as you live your life, you commit more and more sins. You do things you're not supposed to do. You say things you're not supposed to say. You think things that you're not supposed to be thinking. All these are sins. And the more that you sin, the more debt you pile up. "You owe me," God says. "You owe me because of all of your sins." And when we ask God, what do we owe you? How do we pay off this debt of sin that we've piled up in our lives? God said, there's only one way. The wages of sin is death. You're going to have to die. Not just physically, but eternally. In order for you to pay your sins that you've committed in your life, you're going to have to go to hell to suffer and to suffer there for eternity. And then your debt will be paid. That's what you and I owe because of our debt and our sins. But God knows we could never do that. And he doesn't want us to have to pay that debt. He doesn't want to lose us for an eternity. You are a precious soul to God, a precious human being. And God loves you too much just to dismiss you as a sinner and just kind of send you away. But someone has paid off that debt, we know. God had to have it paid. He couldn't just sweep that sin under the carpet. Somehow it had to be paid. And as we know, that's what Jesus was doing for us on the cross. Many say that Jesus died on the cross to give us an example of how to be humble, of how to suffer for something you think is right. Well, that's not why he went to the cross. He was there to pay off the debt that you and I and the rest of the world owed to God. That was his goal. From the moment he was born, throughout his life, throughout his ministry, through that trial the night before, or through the mocking, the scourging, the rejection, the pain, through it all, Jesus had his eyes set on one goal, and that one goal was to pay off our debt. The entire world owed to God an eternity's worth of suffering. And Jesus agreed to step forward as your substitute to pay that debt for you. That's why he was dying on the cross. And that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was going through that suffering, that separation from God that you and I owe to God because of our sin. But then it was over. He had done it. The suffering was complete. The punishment was taken care of. Your debt was paid. And that's why Jesus said, it is finished. Tetelestai. You never have to wonder, what do I owe God? How do I pay for the sins I've committed in my life? Well, you know, you never have to worry about that. Jesus paid for all those sins as he hung there on the cross. Is there anything left for me to do to make myself right with God? The answer is no. Tetelestai, it has been finished. It's completed. Every ounce of suffering that we owe to God, it has been paid in full. You are right with God. There is nothing now that stands between you and God. He loves you. He forgives you. He has prepared a place for you in heaven. And it's all because of Jesus, who paid our debt in full. Tetelestai. It is finished. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. Let's continue with the next hymn. Alas, and did my Savior... Oh, when I survey the cross. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Christ Jesus in the word of truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy won for us on that cross on that first Good Friday, so that your church, spread throughout all nations, may continue to be defended against the adversary and may ever serve you in true faith to persevere in the confession of your name. Lord, we know that you hold in your hand all the might of men. And because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do well, all the powers that exist in all nations of the world, we humbly pray that you would graciously regard your servants, not only the leaders in our country, but leaders throughout the world, that they might receive your word, that they may bear that word according to your intention through Jesus Christ. Almighty and everlasting God, you are the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. We pray that those who are in any kind of tribulation or distress, as they cry to you, that they may graciously be brought to health, so that in all necessities you may comfort them. We pray for those who are outside the church, that you would deliver them from their error, calling them to faith. Indeed, we know that you seek not the death but the life of all. Hear our prayers for those who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from error, and to the glory of your name, bring them into fellowship in your church. Lord, we ask you also to watch over our enemies. We know that's hard to pray for, Lord, but you have commanded us to love them, to do good to those who hate us, to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly ask that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance, and may have the same love to be of one accord in one mind and heart with us and with your whole Christian church. All other petitions we bring before you in the prayer you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.